So you think you're bad because you survived episodes 5.5, 6, and 7? Well, strap yourself in, because you're not getting off easy this time. Because this is Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast, Session 8, The Ocho. Listen to Summer Rain, which is the opening to Cross Game by the artist Kobukuro. And if you want to visit us at our website, you can visit us at aaapodcast.com, and that's three A's. We have a forum on there, and we would love to hear from you. And on the forum, you can request anime reviews or topics to be discussed and things like that, because we really want the listeners to be involved on this podcast. Okay, so this is Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast, and I am Mitsugi. Tonight we're here with a full boatload of hosts. We have Chiaki live from Japan.
What up, people? So I want to apologize for the website delays. I'm in that place. Maybe some of you have heard of it. Mitsugi just mentioned called Japan. It's a country.
No.
Yeah. Way.
No way.
So yeah, I am here and I'm going to be giving you updates from Japan. And the website should be running normally now. I do apologize if things do get delayed now and then. You'll just have to bear with us. Trivia will be running an extra week due to me being in Japan. So win free stuff, anime, free trivia, go to the forums.
Yeah. And we also have Hatake with us tonight.
Heck yeah! Okay, so I got some pretty cool news for you guys. We are going to have Matt of the Leech Street Boys as a guest on our podcast coming up in the next couple of weeks, I believe.
You're very excited about that.
Oh, you have no idea. I've been a fan of the Leech Street Boys for like 3 years now, so I never dreamed this would happen. Little sparklies are appearing behind my head right now.
Thank you, Hatake. We're all very excited about that. I know I am.
Awesome.
I'll be as good of a fanboy as I can.
All right.
And on my left, last but not least, we have Valentine.
Hey, guys. Okay, so I have some exciting news, and that is that we are going to be starting a new contest, which is awesome. And this contest is going to be anime fan art.
Woo-hoo!
That means that we are to draw anime fan art. And we are going to be accepting everybody's submissions, and the winner will have their artwork on our main page, and then we will also be posting everybody's artwork. So anybody who submits will have their artwork someplace, but the winner will be on the main page. And like I said, it's fan art, whatever that means to you. But we would like to see, you know, your favorite character, whatever you want to draw, and be creative. And we're really, really excited about this, so.
And there'll be some kind of an anime-related prize in addition to having your art displayed on the top page of the website. And We have a good bit of different people that come to the website, so it'll be a good bit of exposure, but I think we're going to probably rotate it with the trivia contest, so, I mean, we're going to have to do the trivia for another week because of the delay. But September and then half of October will be the art contest, and then we'll go back to the trivia and we'll rotate it in and out. So that's, I think that's pretty much how we'll
Woo-hoo!
Do it. And again, my name's Mitsugi, and I also have a piece of news, personal news, podcast news. Towards the end of the month, around September 27th, Valentine and I will be going on the Gundam at MAHQ Ooh. Podcast to talk
yeah.
with those guys, and they're really cool, and we're going to have some really interesting topics for them to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And then following that, Neo of the Gundam podcast is going to be joining us for an episode, and he will be discussing certain topics with us on our podcast. So you guys can look forward to that, kind of a host crossover, if you will. So we're really excited about that. So this is going to be a busy next 4 weeks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We're spreading our wings and reaching new horizons in the anime world.
Epic music plays in the background.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Like, we'll find some one-winged angel in there.
I have it right here.
Oh, you're already listening to it. Anyway. Okay, so this week, I think the most exciting thing that we have to talk about is the fact that our own Chiaki is in Japan.
Woohoo!
And, you know, pretty much every anime fan out there, I think, in some way, shape, or form, wants to go to Japan. But, you know, not everybody has the ability to actually do that, whether it be, you know, logistical reasons or cost reasons. And we certainly understand that, but we can bring you the next best thing, and that's a live account of what life in Japan is like after being there for a week or 2 weeks. So, Chiaki, why don't you kick it off for us and, you know, tell the listeners a little bit what life's like in Japan.
Sure. Okay, firstly, hello from the future, because if you're listening from the States, it's already tomorrow for me right now. I got those lotto numbers, so who wants to pay up? No, I'm just kidding.
I do.
So I'm here, just so everyone knows where I am, why I'm here. I'm in a town called Hirakata-shi, or Hirakata City. It's right in between Kyoto and Osaka. I'm about a 30-minute train trip from either. I'm also near Nara, which was one of the first capitals of Japan. So I'm really in, like, I'm in a quote-unquote suburb, though it feels like a big city, because even the suburbs in Japan are big cities. I'm studying at a college called Kansai Gaidai. They have a giant international study abroad program. So if you're in college, and even if your school doesn't have an affiliation with Kansai, it's still possible for you to get here. So look into Kansai Gaidai if you're in college, you want to come to Japan, you want to study abroad type of thing. It's a really great program. So that is where I am. I got here about, I don't know, like, a week and a half ago, though it seems like forever at this point. I'm sure what everyone wants to hear first is the anime-related things that I've seen. I was just walking around getting to know the area, and I saw a store, and I was kind of looking for an anime store, kind of, you know, half-heartedly. And I saw a store with Pikachu on the door. So I'm like, okay, Pikachu. That makes sense. Had some kanji around him that I couldn't read. I walk in. It's a TV store. Pikachu is advertising TVs in Japan.
Of course.
Why?
What?
Pikachu power.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I was very confused and left kind of embarrassed. But there's this place called Kittyland, which is really weird, but it's like all things kawaii.
Kittyland? Like Hello Kitty?
No, Kitty, K-I-D-D-Y, like little kids.
Kittyland, okay. Like
Kittyland.
Like Kitty.
So at Kittyland, they had these vending machines. Like, you know, they have them at restaurants in America. You put like 50 cents in and you crank the thing and you get a little something out. They had those, but instead of like a shitty little toy, they were like $3. But you would get some, like, a decent anime figure. And they had like everything from Dragon Ball Red Ribbon figures to One Piece to Bleach to animes that I haven't even heard of. And it was just like this entire wall. I got a couple pictures of them. And then the other thing that I found that's kind of funny is that anime is apparently perfect for pachinko advertising.
Oh, yeah.
It's pachinko, for anyone who doesn't know, it's kind of like a Japanese slot machine. But like, every time I see a pachinko sign, it has some anime on it, be it made up or be it in existence. So that's kind of like all the anime stuff that I've seen. But I mean, obviously there's more to Japan than just anime. I know it's going to come as a shock to some people, but it's true. So I kind of want to talk about that a bit. I'm staying with a host family, so I kind of have a taste of quote-unquote real Japan. I sleep on a futon, like anime, that I take out of my closet every night and put on the floor and then put back in my closet every morning. Breakfast is like, in Japan, almost all breakfasts have some kind of egg, but they also have a salad, like a small side salad. It's really common for a Japanese breakfast. And then dinner is, it's really weird. Like, if you've been to a tapas place where they serve like a bunch of small dishes and then everyone picks from it, that's almost like the exact same style as a Japanese dinner. Like, you just kind of have a bunch of little side dishes and everyone just picks at all of them and that takes what they want, which is really weird because like you eat with your chopsticks and then you use those same chopsticks to get stuff from the big food bowls. You eat, you hold your chopsticks in your right hand, and this is some table manners I learned. Elbows, it's the same. Elbows not on the table. But you also, with your left hand, you hold the bowl or something. You never put your left hand below the table. That's really rude. And then it's also, you have a rice bowl, and you always clean your rice bowl. It's rude if you don't.
Oh, well, they're just hand checks. They just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you're not doing it at the table. Okay.
Save it for 10.5.
My favorite, one of the interesting things that I've seen so far, has been, that I've taken particular notice of, has been salons, like hair salons, mm-hmm. which they, in Japan, the general trend is you name the salon something that has nothing to do with hair or anything, and then you have hair, and then you have some kind of word that's not salon but kind of implies what it is, and it's all in English. Like, one of them is Cube Hair Emporium. Another one of them that I passed is Sweet Hair Design. Like, it's really random. Of course, there's, you know, the street side vendors that we all have come to associate that are delicious. And the revolving sushi on conveyor belts, which is also really good and cheap and delicious. And I went to Starbucks in Japan. Well, they had about three things. They had coffee, tea. You could get hot or iced for either. Mm-hmm. And they had frappuccinos, cappuccinos. And that was it. That was their entire menu.
Seriously?
Seriously. It depressed me to no end.
Wow.
And it's also, like, probably about a dollar more expensive than in the States. For a tall iced tea with nothing else, I paid probably about $3.50 American.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But the only thing Starbucks does have in Japan that I can say has going for it is the sweet selection is amazing. They had this little cake that was in like this chocolate cup thing that was made of chocolate that had like this small bit of like, I don't know, angel food cake with then like chocolate and vanilla mousse swirl on top with like this delicious cherry looking thing. Like, I was like, really? It looked amazing. So, yeah, Starbucks in Japan. Don't go for anything but sweets.
Nope.
The other thing I had, too, is I had, like, a Japanese hamburger that was really weird because it tasted different. Like, they put different spices in it. I'm sure that's to be expected, but still. I want to say, too, Japan is a country of, like, efficiency and recycling. Like, there are, like, six different trash cans. There's PET, which is a special kind of plastic, like bottles. There's general plastic, which is anything wrappers. They recycle all batteries. Then there's the burnable trash, which is your raw foods and stuff like that. And then there's like one or two other trash bins. Like, it's hard to keep track of. It's all recycled. But it's not always convenient, obviously.
Deep pockets.
Yeah, exactly. And then Valentine actually made this comment. I posted some pictures onto my Facebook, and Valentine actually made this comment, and I started thinking about it. She commented to one of my pictures that it looked exactly like anime, and I was thinking about it, and it really, really does. I know that sounds like a duh thing to say, Hey. But, like, I was sitting on the train.
Can I just say that in defense of myself that I also said that it was very stupid to comment that Japan looked like anime, because obviously I've never seen Japan. I just meant that the pictures of Japan look exactly like the way that anime looks, the way that they show Japan in anime, and that's what, yeah.
But, like, when I was sitting on the train to go to Kyoto, I was sitting there thinking to myself, whoa, this is just like Biosico. It's, like, awesome. I haven't met very many people who watch anime who's my age, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. Like, my host sister says that a lot of people her age don't watch anime. It's more younger people. But I don't know if that's just, like, I mean, I don't know if it's, like, America where it's, like, you know, some people do, some people don't, and that's just the matter of fact. But I will, not next podcast, but the podcast after will be live from Tokyo, where I will visit the mecca of anime, Akihabara, and probably spend all of my money in one day. But I will have updates on that, not next podcast, but the podcast after, and then... Yeah, I mean, that's Japan is wild and crazy, and everyone here is really nice, and it's all kinds of awesome. Oh, one more thing. Karaoke. I went and sung karaoke. They have anime music videos in the background, if it's an anime song. And that made me happy.
That's sweet.
Okay, that's all. Unless you guys have anything you want to ask.
Have you had anything awkward happen? I want to hear about the awkward moments.
Have I had any awkward moments? I did have one. I was looking... Okay, my sunglasses broke on the plane. And it is bright here. So, like, I really was trying to find some sunglasses, and I finally did. But I was walking into this one store, and it was, like, my first day here. And one of my friends said that... who'd been here a couple days longer than me, said that this store might have sunglasses. So I walk in. And my limited Japanese, I'm trying to ask for sunglasses. And there's a guy behind the counter who obviously doesn't speak any English. And he says something, which I didn't recognize, because I'm listening for, like, sunglasses. You know, we have them, we don't have them, they're over here, something like that. And he says something that I don't recognize, and then he says, hold on, I don't speak English, essentially, in broken English. But, so he gets another employee, and the other employee says something to me. And I'm still not quite understanding it. I go through two more employees, and finally one of them walks up and points to a sign. The whole freaking time that I'm trying to listen to sunglasses, they're trying to tell me that the store is closed. And
that's an
hour.
That's really funny.
Wow.
That's...
that's so random. You'd think that there would be some way for them to just be like,
get the hell out.
You know.
That too.
Wow.
Did he make an X with his hands?
No, none of them did that. Like, they were all really polite, and they were all tolerant and nice and whatever. But, like, I feel bad because it was, like, an hour before they opened. And I don't know why their door was unlocked, for the record. But, like, it was, like, an hour before they opened. And, I mean, it took, like, four employees to stop doing what they were doing to come over and help the lost American... learned that the store was closed. And I still never found out if they had sunglasses or not, because I was too embarrassed to go back.
Did you ever find sunglasses?
I did. I found sunglasses at Hirakata-shi Aiki, which is the big station for Hirakata City.
Right.
There was a place called The Emporium, and they had some cute clothes, and they had sunglasses. And these sunglasses look almost exactly like my old sunglasses, which makes me happy, because since none of you know me, but take my word for it, sunglasses look terrible on me. So to find some that look okay is very exciting for me. Oh, another time. This isn't really, I don't know. I don't know if you'd call it an awkward moment or not, but it was still kind of funny. The first day I'm going from my homeboy's house to my college, and I don't have a bike yet, which I really need to get. But I'm going to, I'm taking the bus to college at this point in my story. And, I get to the main hub of buses, and I realize that my host family told me what bus to take to get to the hub and what bus to take from the hub to get home, but not how to get from the station, the big hub, to school. So I'm sitting there with my limited Japanese, trying to look at all the signs to find Kansai Gaidai, because I know the kanji from my school, trying to find that on one of the buses. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it and I'm struggling. And this woman walks up to me. She doesn't speak a lick of English. And she's like, she points and she goes, Kansai Gaidai? And I was like, yes. And she's like, oh, she's like, follow me. And she's taking me and she leads me around the bus and she's like, okay, your bus is over that way. And she's like, that way. Or Kansai Gaidai bus that way. And I'm like, okay. So it takes about two or three more people's kindness before I'm finally sitting on the right bus. But apparently, you know, if you're blonde-haired and blue-eyed, which I am, Japanese people assume you're a foreigner for some strange reason and are willing to help you.
Well, gee, I wonder.
Yeah. But I'm kind of thankful for it at this point in time because I really need the help.
Have you noticed people staring at you everywhere you go?
I kind of have, like,
that's good.
I went out, like I said, I went out and I sang karaoke and everyone, and me and my friends did Puri Kura, which is the, you know, the photo booths, but it's like Japanese photo booths, so they're on steroids and they're awesome. What?
As in with the sticky on the back?
Yeah, with the sticky on the back. And I did that, and everyone at the place that we were at was kind of staring, but I don't know, it's okay. Like, you kind of get used to it, being the foreigner.
Mm-hmm. When you get to Akihabara, you're going to have tons of guys in pointy elf shoes try to solicit you into, you know, doing lewd acts with them.
Yes, it's what I've always wanted.
Just something to look forward to.
Their boots are so pointy and messed up that they have to walk with, like, a really wide gait, because they're not really comfortable with anything. Have you seen the pointy boots yet?
I haven't seen any pointy boots yet. Although I have seen some kimonos that are really pretty.
I'm talking like elf shoes that curl up on the end.
I haven't seen any of those. In fact, I really haven't seen any really wacky fashion. I mean, something that's a bit more wacky than what you'd see in America. I mean, like, when I say wacky, I mean, like, neon colors and stuff like that. But nothing, like, that has made me go, whoa, okay, what's going on? So that was all about my adventures in Japan, or I'm going to keep updating everyone. And one of the things that I think, you know, we should talk about now would be art and anime, since this is an anime podcast and anime is art.
I think so. That is such, like, a totally good idea.
Thanks.
Okay, then.
Right.
Let us continue on art talk.
Okay.
All right.
That seemed out of context, didn't it?
You know what we should do? You know what we really should do? We should have a contest about who can do the best snake impression on the website.
Can we?
Please. No.
Oh.
But yes.
Okay. Shut up.
I can't. Naomi.
Yeah, but
Naomi.
It'd be really hard for girls to do it. I'm just naked.
One of the saddest things of my whole life is that I can't do a snake impression.
You have a really good life, don't you?
Otacon.
I can't do it at all. I hate it.
Ryden.
I can't
even do it.
You were the lightning in that storm. I feel like it was my destiny to be in this box.
It was even raining the day I was born.
You're
all
going
to piss all
hey,
over.
You know what I get? You know what we should probably talk about? Art and anime.
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk
about.
We should
probably do that.
Let's talk about words.
Okay.
I'm going to choke my ego.
Can we please? I think that please leave this. Please leave this.
Stop the snake
impressions. Excuse me. Please leave this entire segment in.
Well, I'm not going to leave that in.
Please leave this entire segment.
When you beg me to leave stuff
I think that's funny. Why do you have to cut it out? That's hysterical.
Don't cut it out.
You hear everybody? I'm begging Mitsugi to keep this in there.
There's snake voice.
I can't do a snake voice.
Beg me a snake voice.
You can do Otacon when he's crying.
Brian, touch me in a private place.
Stop making fun of Otacon!
I've wanted this so long. So anyway.
Snake, you think room on the battlefield.
When I was watching Bakemonogatari, I was thinking about how beautiful the composition is and how art and anime.
All right, it has a really let's take a moment, please. Like, I have to wipe the tears out of my eyes.
Naomi.
Naomi.
Why?
Naomi's a whore. Trading
dish. She's like.
She's got everything Otacon's a woman ever
like,
wants.
You smell like vamp. I don't know what you're talking about. No, you, yeah, you know, you smell like vamp. That's weird. You smell a little like snake, too.
I just gotta say that in Metal Gear Solid 4, I tranquilized or gunned all the hot girls, because
I couldn't bring myself to kill them.
I just couldn't bring myself to kill them.
Excuse me, they were so obnoxious.
Show me your rage, snake!
By rage, we know what they really meant.
If by obnoxious, you mean 36... 26, 30.
Snake's like, really? I'll show you my rage if you show me your boob.
My rage.
What? Like, sorry, did you say something too busy looking at your ass?
It's so weird how you guys all have exactly the same body when your camouflage comes off.
This conversation has gone to shit.
That's so weird how that happened. Yeah, that's right, Hidu. I'm talking to you. So basically, it's kind of hard to talk about art in anime because it is, you know, a really wide subject, but at the same time, and I know we've sort of touched on this before when we talked about our favorite directors and stuff, but frankly, artistic quality in anime is, aside from the story, it's what makes anime good.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, obviously we all know if we watched more than like two anime, that anime just based on the studio or just what the whole series is trying to get across are like vastly, vastly different styles. And with the anime that's come out in the past few years, or even like within the past few months, we've seen this incredible jump in quality where, you know, before you'd be lucky if you saw like an anime character's hair moving very much. Think like Dragon Ball Z with Goku. Goku's hair doesn't move. Nobody's hair moves unless they're like in the breeze. And even then it moves in like big like shocks of hair. And it's like now we see people with like these. We see, like, drifting flower petals. We see individual strands of hair. It's just the animation quality. We see frame rates that are just incredible. And not only has the quality of the anime gone up, but also artists are able to do a lot more with that quality. So, like I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted by a 10-minute tirade that I engaged in about Metal Gear Solid.
It was actually about 4 minutes.
I think it was about 10. I think it was 10 in my
it
mind.
It felt like 10.
Anyway,
felt like a 10.
You know, I enjoyed that.
I really wonder, because it's like, the art quality might improve, but I swear that anime has just gotten so...
Okay.
What's what I'm looking for?
Stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, no, but what I'm trying to say, basically, is that you have, like, so many different genres of anime, and you can pretty much turn an anime on and think of maybe five other anime that look similar to it, have similar themes, and, like, you can tell right away what it is. But there are a few anime that, like, especially, because I know I already said this, like, three times, but Bakemonogatari most recently is just incredibly beautiful. Like, it is the way that it's done with the scenes, with the animation itself, it's just, like, it sort of transcends things that are out right now. And obviously, like I've talked about, it has really good ratings. But I think that, if anything, art is becoming more important now because with, like, Mitsugi and I were talking, and I think he's talked on the podcast about it, too, the way that, like, the anime that's come out recently is just not very impressive. I mean, the story is not very unique. The characters aren't engaging. It's stuff that we've seen 1,000 times before.
It's not even that they're not unique. It's that, I mean, I'm watching almost every still running anime from the last season, and I think like, honestly, I don't think any of them have, like, a story at all. There's, like, no story whatsoever. I mean, and if there is one, it's so thin and, like, useless that, like, you don't even want to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Basically, it's like, if anything, I have to say that there are some anime that I've seen before that I don't really like, or I don't really like the story, and I watch them because I, like, really, really enjoy the art style. But it's like, even now, with the way that it's going, like, with what we were just talking about, with how, like, the stories are not unique and we're not enjoying what we're watching as much as we used to, art is more important than ever, because art, like, if you have really good art and a really good story, the anime is, like, just worlds beyond anything that's come out recently. If you go back and watch, like, Magic Knight Ray Earth, for instance, okay, something really old, Clamp, Magic Knight Ray Earth, or even X, and you see...
X isn't that old.
X is not that old, but it serves the purpose that I'm trying to get across, okay. Where you have these characters with really fixed features, and it looks like you could, like, pick their features off and, like, cut bread with them. Like, they're pointy, and they don't... There's no fluidity to them. And when I watched Code Geass, and I'm not, like, going to review Code Geass at all, I don't want to talk about what I thought about it. I just want to talk about, and I don't mean that in a mean way, like... Code Geass has this fluidity about it that's just so beautiful. Like, even with the characters' features, with the way that they move. And that, I think, is something that, like I said, with the quality recently, is something that has come to really be a trademark of anime. And that, I think, is amazing. Because if you watch older anime, you have all of these, like, you have fixed backgrounds, you have fixed features, your characters, their clothes don't move, their hair doesn't move. And you, like, the availability of what you can do as far as, you know, directing is much more difficult, with the exception of things like Akira. And even then, that's hard. But now, it's like a whole world has opened up as far as, I'm sitting here at the table gesturing, like, as far as art is concerned. And I don't know, it's like, again, I'm going to go back to Bakemonogatari, but you don't see anime as much anymore, except with really famous, really iconic directors, that is beautifully directed as far as the art, like the art direction, where it looks like somebody really sat down and put together story panels and thought, how can I make this single scene have the most impact possible? What can I do here? What can I do to make this anime really, like, artistically beautiful?
Well, I want to add a couple things to this. First of all, I think that animes, the visual quality of an anime is governed in part by how long it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, anime is just a business like everything else. It exists to generate commercial revenue for companies on TV. It's just like Lost or whatever we have. So every anime is going to be governed a budget based on what people, how much advertising revenue they think it's going to pull in. Well, if you get, like, you know, for the sake of putting it in dollars, if you were to have like $1 million budget, and you're making, like, a movie, like, you know, I don't know, Tokyo Godfathers or something, you're going to be able to pour a lot more money into the animation quality than something like, you know, Dragon Ball Z, where they reuse the same cells, like 100 times, because they had to I mean, Dragon Ball Z might not be a good example because of, like, how popular it was, but, you know, have to stretch your dollars across, you know, such a long vastment, and that's why OVAs oftentimes look better than... longer stuff.
And I completely agree. But even then, it's like, even if you don't have a lot of money for production, you can tell when, like I said, when the director has been like, how can I get the most out of what I have? How can I make this scene really mean something? And, like, again, I feel kind of silly having this be one of our topics, because you could really talk about this for, like, hours, for days, because there are so many examples of different kinds of, you know, art in anime and, like, just, I don't know, just... so much to talk about. But, like, that's just something that I thought was important, because, I don't know, just recently I'm blown away by, like, the quality of anime. And yes, it's true, like, when you stretch a series out a lot, like, even something like Inuyasha, you don't have the money, but I don't know.
Well, they, like, keep throwing money at it, but I wonder, do you think there's somewhat of a correlation between, I mean, if you... to go back to the you know, every anime has a honeypot of money, you know? And let's face it, animation today costs a lot more than animation did back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the computer software and all the extra technical pay you have to give to the employees sucks up a lot of money. Do you think there's a correlation between animation quality and the quality of the rest of the stuff in the anime? Like, you know, they use so much money on the visuals that they have less money to spend on the music and on the directing and on the voice acting and on everything else that makes anime quality. And maybe that has something to do with why anime is so shallow nowadays.
Well, you have to remember that it's so easy once you have a formula, and there are a lot of formulas in anime
that are
used like a gazillion times. It's easy to put something out. I mean, it's easy. It's just like it's with anything, with music, with literature, with TV to a degree. I mean, it's just you plug in a formula, and anime is like there are so many people who are content to watch variations of the same genre over and over. And I'm not saying anything bad about that. That's totally fine because I do the same thing with certain genres that I really like. But it's like if there is less money available, or if somebody is saying like, okay, look, this is it, we really want to make something really good, there's more of a desire to do a good job than if you're just like, we're just making another school anime, or we're just making another mech anime, here it is, here's the budget, make it look pretty, put it out there.
Well, I just think people get lazy. Like,
well, I'm sorry, I think I kind of lost track of what exactly you were asking. Do I think that the quality,
there's
a correlation?
Well, let me put it this way. If I gave you $10,000,
mm-hmm,
and you had to spend the $10,000 on art and on voice acting.
Okay.
Okay? And you decided that you were going to use computer-generated stuff, because that's pretty much all anime is done with nowadays, and it uses, like, you know, $8,000 as opposed to, like, $4,000,
mm-hmm,
and now all of a sudden you can't get Samuel L. Jackson to do your anime. You have to go get, like, you know, Joe Schmo from some random place to do it. Because you don't have the money anymore to pour into getting Miyazaki to direct your anime. It fits in these terrible grooves where, you know, people get complacent with the types of content that they're releasing, and it's been like that for years. I mean, let's face it, every anime that takes place in a school is identical to the one that came before it. I mean, you really have to look at it like that. I mean, you can watch, like, you can probably sort every anime there is into, like, six categories. And you can probably sort them into those bins, like, after watching 20 minutes of them, if you really try.
I guess what that makes me think of is the fact that art is, like, really, really good art in anime these days is going to be completely important and not important at all. And it's going to be completely important because if it's genre and just formulaic, you're going to hate it. And if you watch it, it's going to be because you're like, oh, look how pretty. I can see, like, every detail on that flower. Or it's not going to matter at all because all the anime is going to have really good quality. And that's what people are going to focus on, because once you start releasing anime that has really, really beautiful quality and everybody's up their quality, you have to do the same thing just to compete. But I think that often if you see something that's really, really unique as far as the art style, you can expect to get a better story just because even if the people don't have much budget where anything else is concerned, somebody who's working on it has a vision, and they want to express it, and the art is just a part of that. So
something that I want to bring up, Mitsugi mentioned, you know, computers, and Valentine did too, and then Valentine, you're just mentioning, you know, the original style. One of the things that I've noticed a transition with, particularly with the advent of, you know, computer animation and whatnot, is this ability to generate these really beautiful stylized animes that just wouldn't even be plausible to be done by hand. The first anime that I really saw that was like this, that really just struck me, a lot of people accuse it of being overwhelming, but I think that's not a bad thing in this case, is Gankutsuo. It's like, the way that they do it is they have, they have the areas of the clothing, and some things are solid blocks like you would normally see in anime with the solid shading and everything like that. But other things are like tones that they put for a certain area as a definition. And it's just so artistic and beautiful, and And at the same time, it adds so much detail that if someone was drawing that by hand, the budget would have to be at the wazoo, because it would just be impossible to create. And another fairly more recent than Genkutsuo that I thought of would be Mononoke. Not Princess Mononoke, but Mononoke the anime, the spin-off from the third story of the Ayakashi Samurai Horror Tales. And it's another one where it just takes a really stylized, different approach with the way that it's colored and shaded and textures and things like that and gradients. And it's just things, like I said, that to do by hand would, before the advent of computers, would just take hours and hours and be imperfect. And I'm sure everyone has their own opinion on if this is a good thing or a bad thing, or if they like it or they don't like it, but I'm just pointing it out as something that I've noticed as a change and that I personally like, because I feel that computers, I almost feel, despite what Mitsuki said, has given animators the liberty and the ability to stretch their dollars. You have to, in the beginning, I feel that, yes, they probably had to pay more for training and things like that, but now I think it's probably an industry standard, and I think that you know, with computers, you don't have to pay for the person who's going to have to paint every cell. You don't have to pay for the paint. You don't have to pay for the ink. I mean, those things are things that'll deplete, but, you know, the Photoshop is always going to be able to generate that CMYK color a million times over. So, I don't know. That's my two cents.
I think that was great. But I just wanted to make, before we, you know, wrap up this section, I just wanted to say that, especially with Genkutsuo, it is really, really beautiful, and it's awesome to watch, but the animation itself, like, the line art is pretty simple. I mean, it's like with...
Yeah.
Like, you know what, do you know what I'm talking about? And that's just an example of the way that somebody's idea, which could either, you know, really, really, really work well or totally fail. And, I mean, we kind of saw that happening when some people are like, oh, my God, I don't want to watch it. I can't stand all the moving colors.
Oh, my God, my eyes hurt.
Yeah, so this was our anime club. Happy
it's giving me a headache.
Yeah, it's moving too much.
It's giving me
diarrhea.
God damn it. I had a point to make.
Okay, rewinding.
I'm just saying that if you have the right kind of vision artistically, you can have really simple art, line art, and have, like, you're like, I want moving pictures, and it's awesome. So even that, it's like, and like you said, that is something that we wouldn't have seen 10 years ago, you know? And it's like, it's kind of cool that, you know, I'm not that I'm really that old, but that I'm old enough now to have really seen a progression.
Okay. I just want to jump in because I want to wrap it up and move on because I can see how much time we've taken. But I wrote it down on our agenda, and I really wanted to hear everybody's opinion. So in 45 seconds or less, I want to hear everyone's opinion on hand-drawn versus CG and your opinion on which you would prefer.
Prefer to see?
Just hand-drawn versus CG.
I would like to see hand-drawn characters and CG backgrounds.
That I agree with.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I would like, because I think on the one hand that hand-drawn, I'm sorry, it's going to be longer, just a little longer than 45 seconds. I think on the one hand that hand-drawn has a charm and a true artistic grace that you can't get from CG, and I think that there's a lot that you can't do with hand-drawn that you can do with CG that is equally beautiful. The end.
I think that I also believe in a mixture of hand-drawn and CG. I don't really shine very happily upon, for example, the mixture that they use for the Samurai X OVA. I think that was very artificial.
I didn't like that at all.
I mean, everything's hand-drawn except for, like, the fireplace. They just used CG on that. It was great.
Just awkward and strange.
What about the Helsing OVA? Did you guys watch that? Because that was a mix of CG and hand-drawn, and it was really good. I really liked it a lot more than the regular series.
But I just want to say that I think that, for example, we just saw with Ponyo on a Cliff, I think a lot can be done with using hand-drawn for the backgrounds and playing with it and making it unique, and using CG for things that are more difficult to draw, things that would be overwhelming to draw.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, instead of, and I feel like using pure CG and being caught up and being lost in the visuals can make animation studios and can make anime companies complacent with other aspects of quality, and that people should sell their anime based on other selling points than just the way that it looks.
My take on it, and I'm sure someone out there is going to accuse me of being a cop-out, but my take on it is you need to pick, not you, but I mean, if you were an animator, you need to pick whatever is going to serve your anime best, and that, I mean, like I said, I know it sounds like a cop-out, but it's like, even if, you know, Gankutsuo had an unlimited budget and someone could actually hand-draw all of that, I don't think I'd like it as much. I think it would have a very different flavor, and I don't think it would serve the purpose. And I know you could also argue that I've already seen it with CG. So, but, I mean, at the same time, if I saw a Miyazaki movie done in that style with, you know, heavy CG and things like that, I think I'd be upset, because I think that part of Miyazaki's genre and part of his, you know, flavor is the hand-drawn charm. So, I don't know. I guess it sounds like a cop-out, but I think it kind of depends on what you're looking for and what the story is, because I think if it's a really mature, stylized story, then CG has a lot more to offer. But if it's a more lighthearted, childlike story, almost, like Honey and Clover or something, then, yeah.
Okay, so...
I don't know.
All right, so that's should we call it a topic?
There's just one more small thing that I would like to say, and this is not related. I was just saying that if anybody would like to talk about this further on the forums, I'm sure that we would love to discuss this with you.
Good idea.
Because, like I said, it's a big topic. So.
Big topic, so...
All right.
So you guys want to... We have five animes to talk about tonight. This is going to be a long episode.
Really?
Eve no Gikan, Demon City Shinjuku, Princess Tutu, One Outs, and School Days. Which is, I might have to do School Days first, because I just don't think I can wait.
To get it off your chest.
I'm going to explode. Actually, maybe I should save it for last, because it would be better that way.
Whatever you feel like you need to do.
Anyway,
Tame the Beast, Mitsuki.
But I'm doing Eve no Gikan, and it's just an impression because... Tame the Beast. Ride the snake. All right, so...
the snake.
I was waiting.
All right, okay,
we're never going to get away from it.
Eve no Gikan is an OVA that's been around for a while. They've been putting out an episode every month or so. And... it's very unique. I'll start off by saying I recommend that everybody go pick it up, because it's very short, 15-minute episodes. You can watch the whole thing in an hour and a half. It's very, very compact. And it's about this society that has been totally... it's totally filled and totally submerged with androids and cyborgs or whatever. And it's very interesting because you have the whole cyborgs want to be... they want rights, you know, the same types of rights and the same types of emotions that humans have. And so there exists this cafe, and throughout the anime, the way that they distinguish the cyborgs from the humans is that they put this, like, glowing ring above their heads that kind of indicates the types of actions that they're currently working on or their commands or whatever. But regardless, you can tell who's an android and who isn't solely by this glowing ring they have above their head, because otherwise they just look like people. But in this cafe... they remove the ring from the top of the people, and it's really interesting because these characters, they stumble into this cafe, and they suddenly enter into this world where they don't know who's an android and who isn't. And the rule of the cafe is that they have to treat everybody equally. So, I mean, we could get into a whole discussion on, like, the rights of, you know, like the whole Blade Runner talk of the rights of androids, but...
it took a whole class about this.
Seriously, but, it's very interesting to ponder it, and it's a very interesting approach to how they cover it in this short OVA, and, you know, to see the characters' reactions, that it's a mixture of fear and curiosity. I think they're not knowing, you know, if the person sitting next to them having a discussion with them is really a robot, and how uncomfortable it makes them in the society. And this is like, I mean, you could have a college course on this, but. Eve no Gikan. I really recommend it. pretty much to anybody, I think. It's very likable. So,
okay, that's I'll take your word for it.
Since the season's about to end, the summer season, that's the only impression I have. So, we've done just about everything this season.
So. Okay, so basically, I'm going to do a retro review of Demon City Shinjuku, which came out 1983, I think, in Japan, and we didn't get it until almost 10 years later.
Those Japanese always get everything first.
So I watched this movie, when I was pretty young, and then I watched it again about a year and a half ago. And it's basically about this really famous demon fighter who has this battle with this demon who is, again, like, these are two really strong, it's like a really strong good guy and a really strong bad guy, and this demon is trying to open a portal into hell in Shinjuku. And he ends up, you're going to find out anyway, it's right at the beginning. So he kills the bad guy, kills the good guy. And Shinjuku becomes this place that in the middle of a regular Japan that is completely uninhabitable because it's just a demon city.
Sounds like Devil May Cry.
Yeah, except it reminds me of Devil May Cry a lot, except let's remember that this was way
okay,
pre-Devil
so we'll
May Cry.
So Devil May Cry is like this.
So, yes, Devil May Cry is like this, which is probably part of why I think it's cool. You have this demon who isn't Sparta, and his son, Kiyoya, who isn't Dante. And, but I have to be fair, because this came out first. So Kiyoya basically doesn't know about his heritage for a while, and then this guy who is the world president is trying to solve this problem in Shinjuku, because obviously it's going to turn into a big problem when the apocalypse comes, when the demon portal is really, really opened. So he gets kidnapped and taken into Shinjuku, and his daughter, who is retarded, goes after him. She's just she's this little girl. She's not little, but she's like a teenager. She's probably about 17. She has this little bow and this little dress, and naturally Kiyoya feels
don't they all
after her because he is the son of this famous sword fighter. And so basically Kiyoya goes after this girl and into the city and meets all kinds of weird demons and this one guy who is actually named Mephisto, who is a sexy, sexy villain guy with, androgynous long-haired villain guy who is sexy. Anyway, so we see this guy a lot in anime. Anyway, so, long story short, Kiyoya fights this guy who killed his father, and that's the end of the movie, this big epic fight. And I have to say, I know that this might sound really, formulaic and stuff, but I really like this movie because I really like Devil May Cry, for one thing, but also because I just like this idea of having this place that's just in the middle of normal life, in the middle of normal world, that's just, completely weird. Here is this city that nobody goes into anymore because it is completely inhabited by just demons. You can't go in there, but only crazy people live in it. And demons. So the other thing that I like about it is that there was this period in the 80s when anime was just kind of just creepy, when they would do this kind of I also think about Ninja Scroll creepy, where the villains are just weird, they just make you uncomfortable. And again, I am not comparing this movie to Ninja Scroll because Ninja Scroll is all kinds of gross, but I'm not recommending that anybody go out and watch Ninja Scroll because they like the review of this anime. Don't do that. They'll be traumatized. But anyway, so it gives you this vague sense of being uncomfortable. When Kiyoya goes into the city, it's just creepy. The characters, the demons are creepy. There are things coming out of alleys, reaching, it's just, it's really creepy. So, and I mean, you pretty much know what's going to happen. You know how the fight is going to end up, but not terribly painful to sort of go on this adventure with him to rescue this girl who's retarded. And, I don't know. I just like this movie. So I would go ahead and give it, 3 Demon Sword Fighters out of 5. If you're bored, and you want to watch it's not lighthearted, but you want to watch an anime that's just a movie about demons that might remind you a little bit of Devil May Cry.
Just
this is
bit.
For you. So yep, that's my retro review of Demon City Shinjuku.
Okay.
The end.
So I'm gonna kick off our review section with I don't know, it's not really that old. I was about to say with an older anime. I don't know, I guess it kind of is. It's 2003, 2002-ish genre, vintage. But I was requested by our own Riani on the forums, and I was very excited because I really love this anime. Princess Tutu is the anime which I am going to retro review. Or not retro review, why did I say that? Which I'm going to review. Princess Tutu, I know it already sounds like a kind of, like, really ridiculous title. Princess Tutu, okay, bear with me. I don't like the plot summary on Anime's News Network, so I'm going to try to give you my own. The show starts out every episode with one of my favorite phrases, Mukashi Mukash, Once Upon a Time. And it starts out like a storybook every episode, like two or three pages of a storybook. And essentially, it sets up that there was a man writing a story about an epic battle between a great raven and a prince. And the man died in the middle of the story. And so the story was destined to repeat itself over and over and over again, eternally, without any ending. And so you kind of get that start in every episode, and then you're not really quite sure how or why. But it follows the story of Ahiru. And Ahiru means duck, D-U-C-K, duck. And Drosselmeyer, the writer of this book that you learn about in the beginning of each episode, morphs this duck into a young girl and gives her a mission to help a prince get the parts of his heart back. Yes, it is magical girl. She turns into the quote-unquote Princess Tutu. Yes, it is ballet. Though, okay, I know it's magical girl, but how many ballet animes are there out there? Seriously.
This is true. Hey, Chiaki, can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Just, yeah.
About something. Did you know, Drosselmeyer is the name of the guy from the Nutcracker, who changes Nutcracker into the prince. I'm sorry.
That's
I just,
a really good
I
play,
had to,
way.
Like, I had to say that, because that's so relevant.
I love the Nutcracker.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that, Valentine. Okay, so you have, you know, the cast of characters. You have, you know, your prince, Mythos and Fakir, and, like, they actually dance. Like, they do real ballet dances in this anime. And, I mean, it's a bit weird. You have your teacher who's a perverted cat and stuff like that, and you have the magical girl stuff. And in the beginning, it all seems really, aside from the really cool opening, it all seems really, like, trite and cliche. But then the anime keeps going, and it's really interesting, and I think I could actually recommend it if you wanted to watch it in a club, because the first 12 episodes are almost like their own story arc, but then it keeps going and it connects everything together. And like when this anime ended, I had a holy crap what frick type moment, because it all came together in such an unexpected and beautiful and non-cliche in the slightest way that like you hold your breath until the last moment. And even then you're still like, is that it? Is that it? So, I mean, the story becomes really, really original. It's really artistic and beautiful. And aside from the magical girl cliche and at the beginning it kind of seeming like, okay, well, you know, kind of, what the heck, really? It becomes a really amazing anime series. The cons for this anime, I have two, you know, which I've mentioned. One is in the beginning. It does seem really cliche and trite. I'm not trying to claim that it isn't, but it changes. So the con is getting through that first initial part where you don't really understand the story and why and how it's beautiful. And then the other thing is, I'm not quite sure what I can tell you to do to get around this. Ahiru's voice is the most annoying thing ever. It's like, it is terrible. So in the dub version, Lucy Christian does the voice, and a couple things that she's the voice for, just to help you place her, is that she's Haruko from Air TV, she's Risa from DN Angel, and she's Raph from Full Metal Alchemist. So I figured someone probably seen at least one of those. But Ahira's voice is annoying, but trust me, by about episode 5, you get into the story, you get past the voice being annoying, whether you're watching the dubbed or the subbed, and you're really getting into the story, and it's really, really worthwhile. So I give this anime probably 4 pas de deux out of 5, and the pas de deux is a belly dance. So.
Wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to do the 3rd and the 4th review. And I know I'm not sure if I promised or not, but I know that I mentioned that I would never review a baseball anime again, but I lied to you.
But a lot.
But this anime is not really about baseball, it's about gambling. So it's interesting like that. Because there's not that many anime about gambling.
I liked this anime a lot.
This anime is called One Outs. It's pretty new. It just finished over the summer. The story centers around this pitcher named Towa Tokuchi, and he's basically this guy that has a very sharp ability to read people's minds. And in baseball, that's kind of useful because you kind of going to anticipate what kind of pitch people are looking for.
Literally read people's minds, or
he's just very, very perceptive.
Okay.
And there's this backyard gambling game called One Outs. And basically what it is that people all gather around the batter and the pitcher, and that's it. There's no other players. It's the batter and the pitcher, and people place bets on whether or not the pitcher will strike out the batter or whether or not the batter can hit the ball beyond the infield. And so it's kind of this deformed, deranged version of baseball. And this man named Hiromichi Kojima, who is the star batter of the Lycans, it's a professional baseball team. He doesn't like what's happening because he thinks that it's a derangement of the game of baseball. But what ends up happening is that he plays the game with the pitcher and says that if he wins, the pitcher will basically stop doing this to baseball. He doesn't like it. And the gambling sums get very high, and you know, it's $100,000, $150,000, all based just on, you know, one pitch. What happens is that Tokuchi ends up losing to him, and Tokuchi never loses. And he goes to play for Kojima's baseball team because Kojima recognizes his skill as a pitcher. And so Tokuchi signs up with the Lycans, and his contract differs from normal baseball contracts in that he gets paid 5 million yen for every out that he pitches during a game, but he loses 50 million yen for every point he gives up in the game. And so he arranges this contract with the owner of the team. And so the anime centers around this cat and mouse mind game that the Tokuchi and the owner of the baseball team play to try to outwit each other. And you know, at the end of every episode, they keep track of how much money who is owed to whom. It's very interesting. It's very unique. It's not as much about baseball as it is about the gambling aspect of it and about the mind games that you can play. And I really recommend this anime, in that it's unique, and I think it's very good. So I'm going to give it 4 million yen owed out of 5. So, and I saved the best review for last. So I'm going to review School Days at the request of Lulu Shigami from the forum, and I'm going to spoil the whole plotline for you right now. And I know we said we wouldn't, but I'm basically doing you a favor, because this anime is not something you ever would want to watch.
And if you really, really want to watch this, this is going to be funny, by the way, but if you really, really want to watch this, skip ahead.
There's no reason why you should want to watch.
Skip ahead like 3 minutes.
Yeah. If you want to go watch a romance comedy, go watch His and Her Circumstances. Don't watch School Days. It's garbage. All right. So, but I have to do this just because it's so funny, and I suffered through it. All right. So, Girl 1 hooks a guy up that she likes with Girl 2. 2 days later, Girl 1 steals the guy back, but they neglect to tell Girl 2. So at this point, Girl 1 and the guy are cheating on Girl 2. 2 days later, the guy cheats on Girl 2 with Girl 3 and Girl 4. So now he's cheating on, like, everybody.
Chiaki, have you heard this before?
No.
Okay, all right, enjoy.
This gets so much better.
Sorry.
Girl 2 finds out that she's been made a fool of because he's cheated on her with three other girls, and she literally starts to go crazy. Like, she sits in the park and talks to him on her cell phone, but there's no one on the other line, and she's just listening to the operator say that the number's disconnected or whatever. So she's going crazy. Girl 1, guy is out banging Girl 3 and doesn't want to see Girl 2. But Girl 2 finds out that she's pregnant. And throughout all of this, Girl 1, Girl 2, and Girl 4 all still like the guy. Girl 2 is happy it's his baby, and he doesn't really care, though, because he doesn't want it, and this guy's an idiot, and he doesn't care that it's his baby. So most of the girls figure out that this guy is somewhat of a douche, and they start rejecting him. And it's amazing, because he can't figure out why. What an idiot. It's ridiculous. Like, the characters in this anime are so unrealistic that none of this stuff would ever happen. Girl 1 still loves him. She's the one that's going crazy. But her heart is so broken, it's just pitiful. I mean, like, she's like an empty shell. They do the thing to her where they take all the light out of her eyes, and she kind of walks around. She looks like a doll, kind of. The only girl left that will tolerate him is her, and, you know, she's still in love. So he goes back to her. Meanwhile, Girl 2 is wondering whether the father... She's wondering where the father of her baby is, you know? There is a confrontation between the three of them, Girl 1, Girl 2, and the guy. And Girl 2 snaps when the guy and Girl 1 start making out, like, viciously in front of her. So she just snaps and runs out. And the next day, Girl 2 kills the guy with a butcher knife. She sneaks up behind him, stabs him in the stomach, and kills him. And this is the girl that was pregnant. So, oh yeah, I want to mention that they also managed to slip a panty shot of her in while she's killing him with the knife. She's basically straddling him, stabbing him in the chest. Battle Royale style, basically. Except it's not a scythe. So Girl 1 finds the body, and she's the one that was going crazy. She cuts the body up into little pieces, puts it in a duffel bag, and then tells Girl 1 to meet her on the roof of the school in a text message. Okay? Girl 1 kills Girl 2 and then cuts her up. She cuts open her stomach to see if she's really pregnant. She actually does that and checks. And the ending clip is Girl 1 on a sailboat in the middle of the ocean caressing Guy's severed head. And she says, "Finally, it's just the two of us."
Okay, and then I have to tell you that I came in, I was minding my own business, I was washing a dish in the sink, and Mitsuki was like, "Let me read you something, tell me when it's something in sense." And I just sat there, and I was like, "You're full of shit." I was like, "You're full of shit, that didn't happen." And then he showed me the clip of it, then he showed me the clip. Okay.
So okay, there. So let me wrap this up here.
Okay.
I actually have some notes written down about this anime. I gotta say that the reason this anime fails is not because it's so messed up. The reason it fails is because of how fake the characters are. I mean, romance comedies, they depend on their characters. They're nothing more. But you've got these characters that basically aren't believable at all. Like, there's no way anybody would be this stupid or this, you know, he's so, like, weak. He's too afraid to tell the girl he's cheating on her. So rather than tell her, he just cheats and doesn't say anything. He's just this wimpy guy. And I gotta say that I was promised ecchi by Anime News Network. It was listed as ecchi, and that there was going to be nudity in it, and I want my money back. No way, I torrented it, so I guess I didn't pay for it in the first place. But I want that 4 hours of my life back. But all the girls are naked in the intro theme. All of them.
That's where it was.
But that's crap. I mean, and it's like it's the nudity where they don't even put, like, the nipples on. They just kind of have, like, the round...
It's magical girl nudity.
Yeah, basically. Mm.
Okay.
The types of things in this anime that really bother me before I score it, and that make the characters unbelievable, is that, for example, the girl two kisses the guy, and then sends him off on a date with the first girl, right? If she has the guts to kiss him, why not just go for it and ask him, you know? It's like, she does it because she wants to be able to be close to him by like, giving him, like, sex advice and stuff like that. But if she's going to go so far as to kiss the guy, why doesn't she just, you know, go on a date with him? In the first place.
Because
stupid things like this.
That would make a lot of sense.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. And it's basically just like a soap opera, but If you haven't figured it out by now, you don't need to watch this anime. It's terrible. And even though I think I should give it the hentai rating, I did get some drama out of it. So I'm going to give it two empty wombs out of five.
Oh my god, bath form.
That was for you, Lelouch Shigami. He told me to watch the first and the last episode only, and I gotta tell you that if I had done that, I would've been so freaking confused. I would've gone from, like, this guy that can't get a girl, and so, you know, despite the fact that all the girls want him, to people, like, pregnant people stabbing each other. Like, what the hell? So, anyway. That's it. That's off. That's the end of the reviews. This has been a really...
All right, so...
Will you wrap this up for us, Chiaki, because it's really dragging on.
On that happy note.
Okay, so, I mean, in closing to a really long podcast, we really want to hear from you guys. I know I say this all the time, but we have a webpage that'll now be up to date more regularly now that I have internet again. Forums linked to on the top page. You know, we want to hear what you think. Feel free to go on a rant. Partake in our weekly trivia contest. Information about our trivia contest is on our homepage, just www.aaa3aspodcast.com. And below the trivia, there's all the different things we're on. We're on YouTube, iTunes, Feedburner, Mevio. We got a blog. We got Twitter. We're on Facebook. Be our friend. Be our fan. Whatever. You can also email us at hosts, that's H-O-S-T-S, at aaapodcast.com. So if you want to give us feedback for the episodes, fan mail, suggestions, whatever, we'd love to hear from you. So carrying us out of this really long episode is the song Waltz from Honey and Clover, and it's by Suneo Hare.
So see you later, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
I'm